going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network, part of Sports Entertainment. Also live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here with you, riding solo here today. And we do have a lot to talk about. A Super Bowl preview here today. Everybody going on in the house here. What's happening? Kyle Woods, Andrew Ford. Welcome in to Mean Streets, the Monday edition here. It's going to be a different type of show. There's only one game on the ice. We are going to start to talk baseball here on this show as of today. This is the moment we really start to dive into MLB stuff, futures, team totals, MVPs, Cy Young, draft stuff. We did a little bit, I think, a month ago, NFBC. We talked the early couple rounds in NFBC, the top 12 pitchers, top 24 pitchers, actually, on average, and the top 24 picks on average. We'll start to get into some MLB team previews. That, towards the end of the show, we're just going to start with AL and NL MVP odds. But, yeah, Eagles and Chiefs. You know, there we go. We got some odds. 2-point favorites for Philly. Philly slight favorites here. KC dogs 49.5 the total. We'll have 2 weeks to break this down, and we're gonna have all kinds of guests here over the next couple weeks to get different takes on this matchup. We have some statistics that we'll show throughout the show today, and of course, moving forward as well, we will visit props. We will visit fun props. We'll talk one and done. We'll talk all that good stuff here on Mean Streets this week. So you'll get different takes, which is good because you can't just, you know, you got to deal with me for the next couple weeks rocking this hat. But after that, you know, we'll ditch the hat. Maybe we'll get the haircut. But most of all, we'll have different takes. It's not just going to be me here talking Philadelphia. You know, it was a couple things. We'll dive into the games, you know, some takeaways from the games. The first one was a bit of a bummer, honestly. Like, yeah, the Eagles won, but man, it was over early. And I thought we'd see like a really highly entertaining game that would come down to, you know, whoever had the ball last, you know, field goal or potential overtime, kind of like what we saw in the Kansas City and Cincinnati game. So, you know, we did nail that first one, Philly in the under. We did not nail the second game. We had the Bengals in the over, and, you know, it didn't look like we were ever going to get the over in that Cincinnati game. It was pretty slow moving to start. Not a lot happening. I really do feel for Joseph Asai. That's how I wanted to start this show. Man, my goodness. Like, certainly a meltdown. You know, I saw some videos this morning of, you know, his teammates yelling at him, you know, going back to the dressing room after, you know, the game in the tunnel, like, you know, why'd you have to hit the quarterback? Why'd you touch the quarterback? You know, you should know better than that. I really do feel for him. Obviously, it was a bonehead play. Like he seriously, he had a meltdown. There's no question about it. It's tough, man. I just really feel for him, honestly. Like, at the end of the game, you know, he's certainly in tears. You don't want to get up. It didn't look like a lot of teammates were going over to him. And I know some of his teammates have spoke out since, you know, Joe Burrow said that's, you know, not the only reason they lost. There were a couple other penalties. And then, you know, Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, kind of addressed the same thing, you know, paraphrasing here. But, you know, there were other reasons why they lost that football game. I just, man, I've you know, as an athlete, and, you know, I don't want to compare myself to him clearly because I've never played on the big stage like that. But, you know, just looking back, and, you know, I played a lot of sports growing up. I've been on both sides of it. I was a contributor to a goal where we won the provincials, and it was an amazing moment. You know, you're on top of the world, you know, your teammates are congratulating you, and you just, it's such a great moment, a nice feeling that you were there for your teammates. And I've been on the other side of it as well. You know, the reason why, you know, you lose a game and you really do feel bad, you know, it's, and, you know, looking back at those moments for me, it's just, well, who cares if like Johnny Boy's mother or father was upset during that game? I never, you know, had to deal with Johnny Boy's father, you know, for the next couple weeks. Who cares? But we just live in like a social media. Everything is just like power driven. Like, you just know the world that we live in. You don't just know he's going to get all these threats and all these like ridiculous comments and messages. Like, just don't be that person. That's all I'm going to say on the show. If you take anything away from the show today, just don't be that person. Like, I really do feel for him. Again, it was an awful play. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. It was certainly the turning point of the game. Right. I mean, it moves them into, it's a 15-yard penalty. It moved them into field goal position, 45 yards. And I don't think, you know, seeing that kick, it's easy to say, like, maybe, you know, he doesn't have to put as much oomph into the kick, you know, 45 yards compared to what would have been, I don't know, maybe they want run one more play and they get in that situation anyways. They didn't have another timeout. So I'd say that they probably run another play, maybe a quick out, and, you know, they get a little bit closer, but I don't know if it's a 45 yard field goal. Maybe it's a 50, maybe it's a 52. I wanted to see overtime, and as somebody who was on the Bengals, I wanted to see overtime, obviously. But man, it was a tough play, and it did kind of seem like it was the turning point in that game. And how about Mahomes, right? How about Patrick Mahomes? It's like it was his Michael Jordan moment, I suppose, like kind of his flu game. The guy like hardly ran around at all in that game, and then he scrambles for 5 yards out of bounds, and you know, there they are, and they're going to the Super Bowl. And don't tell me ever that this bulletin board stuff isn't a thing. I don't want to hear it. It is a thing. Did Kansas City need to hear the mayor's comments in Cincinnati? Did he need to hear the Burrowhead talk to get them fired up for the game? No, probably not. Right? It's the AFC Championship game. It's a division. It's a rival. It's not a division rival, but it's a rival. It's a rematch. It's Burrow versus Mahomes. It's all this stuff that we've heard leading up, and we heard last year, and then you hear the debates: is Burrow better than Mahomes? And yada yada yada. And then the mayor comes out with all that stuff, but you can't tell me that it doesn't mean anything, because the first thing that was said after they won the game yesterday was Travis Kelce ripping the mayor, the jabroni, with your comments. All right, stop it. And then Mahomes is getting interviewed after the game, and Travis Kelce comes and runs over and says, like, don't get it twisted, right? This is not Burrow's house. This is Mahomes' house. Arrowhead, Mahomes' head. Like, don't get it twisted, right? So it does mean things. And if I was a Cincinnati fan, it's not the reason they lost the game, but I would have been ticked off to hear, you know, the mayor, you know, speak like that and just ramble. And clearly he was clueless. Like, he was out of his element, like, to talk about that. I mean, he's reading the paper. He's stumbling over, like, 3-0 against Kansas City, Burrow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it was nonsense. It was so silly. But it is what it is. KC and Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid against his former squad, and the Kelce brothers, you know, the first time brothers are going to face off against each other. So those are the storylines. There's a lot of appealing storylines. You know, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. You know, year two as a head coach for Nick Sirianni, and year two as a full-time starter for Jalen Hurts for the Eagles. And the turnaround is real. Remember, they fired their coach, and it looked like they were kind of going to go through a rebuild just 5 years ago. And to get back to this point is pretty remarkable. So we'll get through some recaps like sands through the hourglass. Kyle Woods, we're still on it. We're still on it here on Mean Streets. It's been a while. What's up, gang? Congrats to your Eagles, means Andrew Ford in the house. How did the one and done go? I thought it went pretty well. We'll dive into that after the break. Andrew said, P. Ryan, anytime touchdown saved his day yesterday. You know, the props weren't great. They weren't great, especially in the first game. It's just the way that the game, I mean, it got out of hand. We gave an under, right, Quan? We gave an under in the FTN betting show. It was the first time in 21 weeks. Probably should have given a dozen unders yesterday in that Philly and San Fran game, because nothing really happened after Purdy left that game. All unders across the board for you know, I think aside from CMC, we had CMC in the bet tracker for over 13 and a half rushing attempts. I think he just got there, but everything else was under because that game was just, you know, Philly didn't really need to throw. Look at this. Quez Watkins under 15.5 receiving yards. You know, he did have a couple deep shots. He had a couple deep shots there. Good defensive play from the 49ers. And as I told Quan on, I think it was maybe late Saturday, early Sunday morning, I was playing a game of Madden, and Quez was just open all the time. He was open all the time. And I had no choice but to throw him a football as, like, you know, running the Eagles offense there. So I was thinking that he would have a big day. But you know what? My analysis, I think, was correct in that game. It's just Zach Pascal is a good pass blocker. He's been on the field more lately. And Dallas Goedert has just cut into what Quez was doing. Quez had some great games without Goedert. So a little too early to hammer home some props for the Super Bowl. But I did notice PrizePicks got some stuff up there. So maybe we'll visit it here in the next little bit. We got a break. We've gone a little long here on the opening block. I just wanted to give some love to Joseph Asai, right? Because I know the guy is like some bad spirits and bad, you know, he can't be feeling too good today. It's can't be easy. So be kind on the old boy, especially if you're a Bengals fan. It's not the only reason they lost that game. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. I did want to pay my respects off at the top of the show to Bobby Hall as well, who passed away. I saw that from the Chicago Blackhawks Twitter account this morning. I had the chance to meet Bobby Hall and Brett a few years ago when I was living in Toronto at a sports conference, and just both of them were super, very, very nice to me. I remember them just giving me some words of encouragement, you know, getting into the business as a sports reporter. The dream for me as, you know, a young buck was to be an NHL reporter. I mean, I haven't closed the door on that. I don't think I can get that done here at FTN Network, but we'll see what happens. That was the goal for me, and they gave me some pretty good advice, back in the day, and they were both hilarious at a conference, both talking Brett and Bobby Hall. So respects to Bobby Hall, and we just saw some news that came down. Kellen Moore, late last night, it came through that the Cowboys had parted ways with Kellen Moore. I don't know if Mike McCarthy's going to call plays now or what's going to happen in Dallas. You know, the last two playoff games for the Cowboys, I mean, the play calling at the end comes to mind. I don't know if that's all on Moore or if that's like a Dak Prescott thing or not, but you remember how they finished off last week against the San Francisco 49ers and that play call at the end, and, you know, I don't know what that was, but ultimately it didn't matter. Like they weren't going to tie that game up, but you think that they would have taken a shot maybe down the field or a different play. And then 2 years ago when they played the 49ers in the playoffs, you remember like the big quarterback draw, the big run up the field, and they ended up running out of time in that game, ended up losing that game. So like two weird endings. I'm sure that didn't sit well with Jerry, just the way that those games finished, but it does sound like Moore is going to, okay, Cowboys wire source. McCarthy will call plays. Still has staff to fill. Thank you for that, Quan. All reports now indicate that the Chargers are bringing in Moore, Kellen Moore, to be the offensive coordinator with the Los Angeles Chargers. So, I mean, I think I don't know if he could be a head coach. I mean, he just doesn't know with some of these guys. Like, sometimes they're just in their element. Like, D'Amico Ryans, could be a good head coach. I don't know, maybe. Like, really good defensive squad, right? Obviously, really good defensive coach. You know, Robert Saleh seems like he's a good head coach, too, with the Niners and then over with the Jets here over the past couple of years as well. But, yeah, so good stuff. I think the Chargers, right, they needed some new blood in there, right? And Justin Herbert, saw some news, too. Like, he had a significant injury, right? Some surgery, I think, over the weekend, core muscle, I do believe. But, yeah, so we'll keep an eye on all the coaching movements and across the league in the NFL. I don't think we brought up Frank Reich last week, but he is now with the Carolina Panthers. And I think it makes sense a little bit. He did get drafted by them. When I say it makes sense, I suppose because he has a connection with the organization, but ultimately they're going to need a quarterback. He is a quarterback whisperer. Like, he did some good things in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz, with Nick Foles en route to a Super Bowl in 2017, but also not so much with the Colts, right? They tried that. I'm sure he was a big reason why they decided to bring in Carson Wentz, but over the years in Indy, he didn't really have a whole lot to work with Wentz and Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers and Jacoby Brissett and then Nick Foles. And yeah, it's just not a whole lot to work with there. What do we got? Kyle Woods. So is this what you got for your one and done? Yeah, my one and done went okay. I don't know if I have it here on the sheet. This is what I said I went with was just Mahomes. Mahomes had a good day. Travis Kelce found the end zone. I had Juju. That obviously didn't work out. I had Christian McCaffrey. You know, he had a pretty good day. I had Mixon. That didn't work out. He didn't do a whole lot. I had T. Higgins. He ends up finding a touchdown. I really just stacked that game. So for me, moving forward this week, it'll be a full-on Philly stack. You know, I'll have Jalen Hurts in there. I'll have the opportunity to use Pacheco. I used McKinnon. He didn't do anything. I expect a little bit more from McKinnon. It was more Pacheco. Like, he was catching some passes, more passes than I thought that he would. What did he have? Six grabs. It's pretty spectacular. Five grabs for 59 yards, six targets. It's not something that really he was doing a whole lot. and Daily Handle in the house. Did you bet over Hayden Hurst 4.5 receptions? I did not bet Hayden Hurst over 4.5 receptions. I think we gave on this show the 3.5 we liked, but it was juiced. I didn't even know that I got up to 4.5. I know that, you know, other books, you can do things like 4, 5, 6. You do whatever you want, really, and increase your odds. But we did not have Hayden Hurst over 4.5. We had him over 3.5, but I think it was -170 Daily Handle. He just had the 4 grabs for 37 yards. He says he did, and you got screwed. The one and done strategy, I guess you not too much of a strategy left, Kyle, for those that are hanging out that are still, you know, obviously playing one and done. I got some work to make up, some ground still. I don't know what my opponent has left, but I'm going to be able to roll out a full squad. You know, I saw this week some of my league mates, they had some Philly mixed in and they had some San Fran mixed in with KC. So who knows? Like, you just never know. You get some weird lineups, right? Some people may not have people to roll out this week, but for me, I don't, nobody know. Not everybody's here to talk about my one. They want to hear me talk about my one and done lineup, but this is what I'll roll out. This is the early mock Kyle Woods. We'll have Hurts, we'll have Pacheco. We already used Miles Sanders. We'll have Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, he continues to look pretty decent, man. He's running hard. He had some nice runs again yesterday. He is the third down back in Philadelphia. You know, if Kansas City, you know, puts up some points and scores some points, it could be a fun offensive. What do we got for a total there? 49.5. Quan, 49.5. I see a lot of bets already in on Kansas City, the +2.5. I don't think it can, I don't, using our prop shop parlay calculator, I don't see any 2.5s out there anymore, but +2, +1.5, but it's a high total, 49.5. Maybe we see some offense there. So Gainwell, Pacheco, and then I'll have the whole Philly stack. I mean, it's going to be very homerish of me, but also this is what I was thinking. It'd be a Philly stack or it'd be a San Fran stack, or those are the two teams that I expected one of the two to get to the Super Bowl. Didn't really believe in Minnesota or anybody like the Giants, and just didn't really Bucks and Cowboys and believe in any of those squads, but it'll be a Hurts, AJ, Devontae, and then it'll be, I'll have to go with Dallas Goedert in there. And then my flex, I'll have some options. I mean, I'll probably be MVS. So my early initial lean here is honestly, it is Philly. It is Philly. We'll get into it in the next block. I do want to recap some stuff, but you know, Kyle, I'm sure you got some KC guys left. MVS will be an option. My thinking is like Juju is not 100%. Mecole Hardman left yesterday with an injury. He's not 100%. They have 2 weeks to get these guys ready. Kadarius is hurt again. They have 2 weeks to get these guys ready to go. Mahomes, right, sit the ankle down. He definitely wasn't the same quarterback, let's be honest. But Patrick Mahomes, like, he's the number one quarterback out of the pocket. He's the number one quarterback in the pocket. He's just a freak of nature. Like, he's unbelievable. And with the game on the line, you know, he scrambled for the 5 yards. There was another play where he backpedaled and went to the left and he had to throw off that foot. And he clearly was in a lot of pain, but you know, he powered through those moments and that's what you get. I mean, the guy is an absolute warrior. He's a beast. And even Travis Kelce wasn't 100% yesterday. And I do believe the reports that, you know, he had some back spasms that surfaced late Friday afternoon. And he was very questionable to play that game. Of course he was going to do whatever he could do to play, but tell you what, man, if back spasms just occur during the game, there's nothing you could do about it. It's like, it's hard to tough it out and play through that sort of stuff. But Mahomes and company, Andy Reid, just a beast, right? These guys are just, they're unbelievable. So it clearly will be a tough game for the Eagles. But I want to go over some of my takeaways from yesterday. And I know a lot of people are already saying it, you know, Eagles again, another cakewalk game. And you know, they didn't have any adversity in that game. And while that's true, one thing we talked about on this show when it came to the Eagles and the 49ers was the pass rush. We talked about how the pass rush would be the difference in the game, right? We had an Eagles defense that generates more of a pass rush than the Cowboys. And I thought the Cowboys did a really good job against Purdy. Purdy didn't throw any passing touchdowns last week. The offense struggled. The pocket collapsed. So what we saw early and often in that game yesterday, it was the first series. The hit, Hassan Reddick again, 16.5 sacks. Like, Eagles with 4 guys with double-digit sacks, led the NFL in sacks. They're probably going to break the record for the most sacks ever in a season over the last 4 years. They're just a couple away. Hassan Reddick yesterday with the forced fumble early, which took Purdy out of the game. Then the fumble recovery. He had a couple sacks. Like, he was just a beast, and to me, that was the difference in the game. And I understand it's hard. It was a bummer. Like, it really was a bummer because I wanted to see a good football game. I wanted to see Purdy stay in there and see what he could actually do again. And he started off pretty good, like two throws right away looked solid, like completions, and looked like they were going to move the chains a bit. And then that happens. And they're just in a tough spot with Shanahan. He can only do so much. Is you're down to your fourth string quarterback now. And then he got hurt in Johnson. And again, what was it? It was the pass rush that got after him. It was the same thing. It was a very similar play where they got after Johnson. And then he gets forced out of the game due to a concussion. I thought the Eagles dominated the line of scrimmage like they've dominated the line of scrimmage a lot this year. And that's how you win football games. I think that's the key. Like over the past few years, don't ask Howie Roseman to draft a wide receiver, but he definitely knows how to draft linemen on both sides of the football. And Jason Kelsey is still an absolute beast. Lane Johnson with a torn groin. He re-tore his groin in the game against the Giants. And to deal with Bosa with no sacks, I thought he did a hell of a job. It's one of the craziest stats I've ever seen. You know, it's almost like 4,000 snaps now where Kelsey and Lane Johnson haven't allowed a sack. So that was the difference, in my opinion, was and the Eagles ran the ball pretty well. I mean, from a yards per carry standpoint, 44 carries, 148 yards, 3.4 yards per carry doesn't seem fantastic. But, you know, Kenneth Gainwell gets 48 on 14 carries. Miles Sanders gets 40 on 11. And Jalen Hurts ran the ball, you know, in the second half of that game. He took some big shots too, but 39 yards on 11 carries. They didn't have to throw the football. I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't have a great game. He was 15 for 25, a buck 21, 4.8 yards per pass attempt. I mean, those aren't really good numbers. He didn't have to throw the ball at all really in the second half. Didn't get Devontae, you know, only three targets from this guy that had 8+ targets in 10 straight games. So they didn't really have to force the issue. AJ Brown has 4 catches, leads the way. Actually, Dallas Goedert had 5 catches, but it was all very short yardage. So Hurts took a couple shots deep down the field. He overthrew some guys, but 5 for 23 for Goddard, 2 for 26 for Gainwell, 4 for 28 for AJ Brown, and then Devontae, 36 yards on 2 catches. But on the other side, you just really feel for, I do feel for Niners fans. I mean, Brock Purdy finishes the game 4 for 4, 23 yards, but 2 dump offs to CMC when he got in there. It was just, you know, CMC gets in there and what? You know, he's running the Wildcat offense. He threw a ball. It was just tough. What are you going to do if you're in Shanahan's situation? What could you do? I thought maybe they should have did more CMC because you knew like Purdy couldn't throw the ball. And he said after he couldn't throw the ball, the most he could throw was 10 yards, 5 yards, 5-10 yards. He said significant pain up and down his elbow on his forearm. He couldn't grip the football. It was just a really tough spot for the 49ers there. And now it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward. I mean, I think Purdy should be the starting quarterback. I don't know if he's going to need surgery, off-season surgery. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Mahomes is Mahomes, but outside head coach, tight end, quarterback, is there a position that Kansas City is better? I would say no. Hess 11 DHI in the house. I would say no. I would say Mahomes is better than Hurts. Clearly, Andy Reid has a lot of experience in big game situations. You got to give him the edge as well. And then, of course, you're giving the edge to Travis Kelce, but secondary is better. Offensive line is better. Defensive line is better. The pressure that they can get. The wide receivers are clearly better. The linebackers are better. Yeah, it's, but yeah. Hard to argue that one. It really is. But at the end of the day, you know, the most important position is quarterback. And I'd say the second most important is head coach, right? The experience factor is key. That's also one thing I wanted to mention as well as, you know, we wrap up from the Philly and the San Fran talk. There's really not a lot to dive into. It's just, it stunk that it was that type of game. I really even wanted to see a little bit more. And all the San Fran people that reached out to me that really wanted to make all these bets, and I only made a couple of them because I, you know, listen, it's easy for all you guys to make all these bets, but I didn't want to be down like, I didn't want to have to pay like 15 bets to people. I see some people looking for some Purdy void. You can't do it. You can't be voiding bets. You can't be voiding bets. I don't think it's not really too fair. I mean, Purdy left early in the game. Some books do that when there's an injury early like that, but I don't think books are refunding Purdy bets today. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's the case. Speaking of coaching, I thought it was a big turning point as well. The Devontae Smith catch, which really it wasn't a catch. And that was a big play, right? They went for it on fourth down. They're in a situation where, you know, you can't kick the field goal with the win at the link. You got to go for it on fourth down. And then even Devontae, like, it looked like he was like, hurry up. I don't know if I caught that. But what is Shanahan doing there early in the game? I think you got to throw your challenge flag. You got to throw it, especially with how quickly the Eagles moved up. And if you lose that challenge, like, it's not the end of the world. It's just you lose a timeout early. You're still going to be able to challenge again later on in the game. And then I thought that that was a turning point. The Eagles end up scoring. Who knows how that shapes out. You know, you challenge, then San Fran gets the ball in decent field position. You know, maybe Purdy doesn't suffer that injury. It's a lot of what ifs and maybes here on this show. But then later on in the game, on that injury, Nick Sirianni throws the challenge flag. It looked like it was an incomplete pass. It was actually a fumble. Philly gets the ball, and the rest is history. So I thought Nick Sirianni, as much as you know, when you say, did he out-coach Shanahan was in a really, really tough spot, but early on in that game, there was some decisions that changed the course of the game, and I think that was part of the turning point as well. Enough Philly San Fran for now. We are going to break and just some recaps from KC and Cincinnati, and also we'll show you how these two teams match up. You know, Hess 11 DH1 talks about the positions outside of the quarterback, tight end, and also the head coach position. How do these teams match up? We'll show you some statistics here on how they actually do indeed match up. So still a lot more to get to. One game on the ice tonight. We do have some picks and some props in that game. It's the St. Louis Blues and the Winnipeg Jets. It's week 17 of the fantasy hockey season. It's also NHL All-Star week here. So just a very light week in the NHL, just the 3 days. So we will start to turn the page and talk some MLB, some NBA on this show. And we will take care of those that are playing some fantasy hockey as well, because it is a 2 week period for those playing in ESPN, Yahoo, and Fantrax leagues. But for those playing high stakes NFHC formats, it's just the 1 week. So you do want to get some players that are playing this week, and we'll take an early look at what will be week 18 for those high stakes players as well. So still a lot more to get to here on Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in Daily Handle with Jordan Allen. Breaking news: Zach Greinke signs a 1-year contract with the Royals. It's not significant news, but we do appreciate you, chiming in and giving us some news. Zach Greinke, man, he's still. I don't know if he's going strong, but he's still hanging around. He's got no heat on that fastball of his. He's one of the highest contact pitchers in all of baseball, and a guy that I like to stack against. But he's still, you know, he doesn't. Despite giving up all that contact, he's had to change his game a little bit, just like we've seen pitchers over the years change their game when they get a little bit older, when they lose a little bit of velocity. Of course, Jared Weaver comes to mind, Mark Burley, and then Zach Greinke in there as well. Speaking of Ryan, we talked about him, right? D'Amico, it does sound like D'Amico Ryan's potentially is no longer interested in the Broncos head coaching job, but potentially could be announced tomorrow or Wednesday, depending on how the second interview goes, that he is going to land with the Houston Texans. And then the Cardinals are after all of the coaches in Cincinnati. I just saw this in the break. Tom Pelissero is reporting that the Cardinals requested permission to interview offensive coordinator of Cincinnati, Brian Callahan, and for their head coaching vacancy, and also Peter Schrager of NFL Network, both guys of NFL Network, breaking news here today, that the Cardinals have requested an interview with Bengals DC Lou Anarumo for the head coaching vacancy. Two sharp guys, right? Cincinnati, they've been really good over the past couple of years. Gave a lot of love to Lou Anarumo on this show. I mean, what he does, I thought he did a good job yesterday on Mahomes and company as well. You know, it was a tight game. Now all four of these matchups between Mahomes and Burrow have been decided by just a field goal. I actually don't have too much more to say when I was to recap this game. It's, you know, it really did come down to the end of that game. They selfishly wanted some overtime, but Joseph Asai, I mean, it did come down to that play. Unfortunately, it was just a little bit of a meltdown, and he pushes Mahomes out of bounds, sets him up into field goal position. And I did think Cincinnati was going to be able to march down the field. Now, there was a moment too, I saw some people talking on social media, the Chiefs maybe have been more aggressive. There was like a 4th and 8 on Cincinnati's 37 with just over two and a half minutes left. I don't think that they were going to be able to kick the field goal from that situation. Then he gives Cincy really good field position. They end up punting the ball away. And I thought it was the right call. Like, it worked out. You are giving the ball to Cincinnati, but they pin them deep into their territory. And, you know, the defense made it work, but there were some moments where I thought since he was going to be able to march down the field, they converted on a 3rd down play. And it did seem like maybe it was going to be a little bit of Burrow magic in there as well. But Mahomes and company finds a way to get it done. But the biggest takeaway for me is, man, everybody just kept falling in that game. Juju Smith-Schuster, Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman, all of these guys. Sky Moore was getting some play, but you didn't do a whole lot with those targets. 8 targets is 3 grabs for 13 yards. Marcus Kemp, 1 catch for 13. Noah Gray. You know, Mahomes did a good job of spreading it around. Like, multiple guys. Noah Gray catch, Juju catch, Toney catch, Hardman catch, Marcus Kemp catch. Jerick McKinnon had 2. Pacheco had 5. Sky Moore had 3. Travis Kelce, 7. I mean, we jumped all over the Kelce prop. We got that one early. The 6.5 and the 76.5 receiving yards. And then MVS had a huge day. So he's somebody that we have to consider clearly in our one and done lineups. I don't think anybody was rolling out MVS over the past, like, hard to trust, but 8 targets, 6 grabs, 116 yards, has a touchdown, really just showed up for the Kansas City Chiefs, which was a very inconsistent season for MVS. He was the guy that they gave the most money to. Juju was a 1-year deal. They traded for Kadarius. He can't seem to stay healthy. Mecole Hardman's an unrestricted free agent. Juju is an unrestricted free agent. So MVS, you know, maybe the future here. I'm sure they're going to be involved. Maybe they draft a guy. Maybe they try to acquire DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not really sure. Those Hopkins odds have changed, by the way. We gave the odds to DraftKings special last week. I think he was like 650 to go to New England. The Patriots are now favored. They're now favored, according to DraftKings, to get DeAndre Hopkins, and now it's sitting at plus 330. I saw that one this morning, but not a lot of takeaways. Some silly penalties from San Fran, too. The Niners fans are... I understand that they're upset, and they should be. It was a sour taste the way that finished, you know, to go to the fourth string quarterback, to lose those guys. But they also took a lot of silly penalties yesterday, a lot of just ridiculous penalties over and over. And I think they were all warranted penalties, though. There was one cheesy one, maybe a little bit of a hold on AJ, but it's hard to argue face masks and, you know, punching guys in the huddle, like in like the scrum after, like, it's just, there was a lot of silly penalties. There's some PI stuff. I mean, I thought they were all warranted. I know a lot of it was on San Fran, but I don't know. They're all penalties in my opinion, but it is what it is. Andrew Ford, any potential MVPs worth talking about aside from the 2 quarterbacks? I do believe we have a board here. This is from DraftKings. All the odds, Super Bowl MVP odds, are pretty similar across all books. Again, I'll reference the prop shop parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. Jalen Hurts, slight favorite here, plus 120. Mahomes at plus 125. We talked about Travis Kelce last week. I don't know if you have the odds from that. It doesn't matter, Quan. It doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure we gave Travis Kelce as like a little bit of a sprinkle at 20-1. There were 2 guys that stood out to me after the quarterbacks. It was CMC at 14-1, of course. That's out the window. And then Travis Kelce at 9-1. I do believe that there's some plays here, you know, outside of these 2 quarterbacks. I mean, we've seen wide receivers, Cooper last year, right, win the MVP. Kelce, you got to figure that, you know, one of these 3 guys could have massive days, like Kelce, AJ, or Smith. Like, Kelce could have a monster game where he's got double-digit catches and 2 touchdowns. Like, that, you know, if you're looking for long shots, like, 9-1 isn't bad for Travis Kelce. And for the 2 wide receivers, I mean, I'm going to dive into the matchups a little bit later on in the week. I think a 20-1 for Devontae. I mean, I think yesterday was a bit of an outlier game. I think this game goes a little bit differently. You know, Casey can score some points and force Philly to throw the football a little bit more. I think that Hassan Reddick at 50-1, we don't really see defensive players, you know, win this award. We have seen it before, but for Hassan Reddick, I mean, now he's up to 19.5 sacks, 2 yesterday, 3 tackles, a forced fumble, a recovery. The guy's been an absolute monster. The Eagles are going to dominate the line of scrimmage again, since he, you know, got some pressure on Mahomes, and Mahomes is still going to be limited. You know, he's probably going to feel a little bit better here in a couple weeks with some rest, but he's still going to be a little limited in that game, and they're going to be able to dial up some pressure on him and get after the quarterback. So those are a couple, you know, long shots, maybe Hassan Reddick, like a little sprinkle on him. Maybe Pacheco, you know, at 30-1, you could be we've seen running backs before, you know, have monster days. And I was, you know, I'm pretty taken back by all the work he got through the air in the passing game, all those catches. for Pacheco. So if he catches a couple passes, he gets a couple touchdowns, like he certainly could be MVP as well. I just look at the game log. I mean, this guy Pacheco, he had one catch against Jacksonville, he had zero against the Raiders. He had one game this year where he had more than two catches, and he only had 13 grabs all year. So I'm pretty taken back by the work in the passing game. I thought it'd be a little bit more Jerick McKinnon as a better pass blocker in that game, and maybe we see more McKinnon with the pressure that the Eagles can dial up. So, Andrew, it's usually a quarterback award. You know that, right? Usually a quarterback award, but some decent long shots there as well. We're going to break. We're going to show you how these two teams match up. We're going to visit some NL and AL MVP odds, as well as a preview of tonight's hockey game between the Jets and the Blues. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Hang tight. Welcome back in. I do see some odds I wanted to share with you guys. Why not? Prize Picks. It's a little early. I do want to say we're going to have two Super Bowl shows over at FTN Network. We're going to have one, I think, tomorrow night. We'll see if these odds start to surface on other books. We're going to do that. It'll be like an early look, but we're also going to have a Super Bowl show next Thursday with Jeff Ratcliffe. Jeff Ratcliffe. Oh, baby, let's go. Exciting times. Ratcliffe, myself, Mike Randall, and Taylor Mathis will be with you guys next Thursday. We will have a Super Bowl show, but two Super Bowl shows. They'll both be free, of course, to check out on our FTN Network YouTube page. Make sure you are subscribed. The early one, maybe tomorrow night or Wednesday, will just be like, hey, these are the lines, early thoughts, initial thoughts, some fun novelty props and things like that. You know, Gatorade color. Those are a little bit silly, but we will visit them. Rihanna first song, all these like things. We'll visit them, but here's what I saw in Prize Picks just now this morning. So we'll start at the quarterback position, passing yards. You got Jalen Hurts, 238.5. Patrick Mahomes, 285.5. The rushing yards, Miles Sanders, 53.5. Pacheco at 50.5. Seems low, right? Considering how hard he is running lately. Receiving yards, Travis Kelce at 77.5. I mean, guys, this is just, it's just a gift every week with Travis Kelce, like these 76s and 77s. I know we just got it last week, but I don't know. I don't know. I tweeted out when the matchup with Jacksonville, they opened up and it was like 76 again and 6.5 grabs. It's just, I would jump on this right away. Travis Kelce, 77.5. Like, he's still going to be he's going to be a big part of the game. He's going to be a problem for the Eagles. Devontae at 60.5. AJ Brown at 67. Dallas Goedert at 42. Nothing from the Kansas City side. No wide receivers. Don't know who's healthy and who's not. Passing touchdowns, 1.5 for Hurts. Two for Patrick Mahomes. We have some field goal stuff here. Jake Elliott and Harrison Butker, 1.5. You got fantasy scores. The quarterbacks are both at 22.5. Miles Sanders at 9.5. Travis Kelce at 17.5. Of course, it's a full point setting over at Prize Picks to get the point there for the catch. Receiving touchdowns, they only have Travis Kelce on the board. Like it a lot. Kelce, I mean, this just seems to be automatic here. Automatic. Moving forward, you got the matchup stuff that we can chuck up, just like an early look. Of course, we're going to have some other guests join the show over the next couple weeks to get their take, but usually how the two teams match up. Eagles offense, according to Football Outsiders, DVOA offense, number 3. Of course, on the other side, we got Kansas City, both top 10. Kansas City, number 1 in points per game, number 1 in total yards, 413, number 1 in passing yards, 297, and then number 1 in pass DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, the Eagles. This is a team offensively, not too bad, right? Number 3 in yards per game, top 10 in passing yards per game, top 5 in rushing yards per game, the number 1 rush DVOA offense in football. Over the past couple of years, they've been number 1 and number 3 in points per game. And you see the percentage. So you got Kansas City, 61.5 pass percentage. That's neutral script. That's from FTN Daily, some of our tools over at FTN Daily, FTNFantasy.com. That's the 8th highest percentage. Kansas City, or Cincy, was also right there at 61.5%. That's neutral script. That's neutral, tied or within a touchdown. This is a team that likes to push the pace. And of course, we know that. We've known that for years. You can go back and look at Andy Reid over the years, and it's just been more of a pass-heavy offense. On the other side, the Eagles, they're inside the top 10 in rush percentage, 49.24%. Switch it over to defensively, and this is, to me, going to be the difference. It's going to be the difference. You got a defense that is just average on the Kansas City side of things. You have on Philly, the biggest thing for me is the 5.5 yards per pass attempt, number one in football. They were number one against the pass. This is a team that definitely struggled against the run, but they started to get healthier towards the end of the season and kind of fixed that a little bit. I thought they did a good job in CMC, but again, you know, you knew that this team was going to run in San Fran. So I hear the noise. Eagles haven't played anyone all year. Cakewalk schedule. I hear all of it. I really do. And what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Now they'll be tested. This is a team that hasn't faced a lot of adversity this season. They'll face it in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, when you've been the best team in football all year, you're going to cruise. You're going to beat up on some teams. Yeah, they had an easy schedule. The Niners had an easy schedule. You know what? In my opinion, there were only a couple elite teams in the NFL this year. There were a lot of mediocre football teams. The Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills, the Eagles, the Niners. All really good teams. After that, we had some questions about the Cowboys. Nobody believed in the Vikings. Nobody really believed in the Giants. You know, the Seahawks made it in. It was a really nice story. The AFC's got some powerhouse teams, some quarterbacks, better quarterback play. But for people just to sit here and say that the Eagles just cruised through, just a brutal schedule, an easy schedule. They didn't play anybody good. They're not that good. They're frauds. Some people saying that the exact same team that played Tampa, you know, last year in the playoffs, and they'll be exposed. And it's just not true. It's just not the case. Hassan Reddick, we've already talked about him enough on this show. AJ Brown. I mean, the guys that they brought in, James Bradbury, Chauncey Gardner, like they brought in so many pieces that it's all noise. It's all noise. It should be a good Super Bowl. We'll stop talking about it for now. We're going to visit the hockey game and then we'll have some fun with some NL and AL. And it's tough for me to say very fast. Bats on a Monday. Had maybe one too many over the weekend. We'll be back in a couple. There we go. Hang tight. Keep her locked. Mean Streets continues on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. One game on the ice tonight, the St. Louis Blues and the Winnipeg Jets. So there's really not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the NHL. And that's a 6-goal total. And the Jets are heavy, heavy favorites here. You know, the St. Louis Blues are going through something. They face a lot of adversity this year. You know, they're without a lot of key players and Pavel Buchnevich and Ryan O'Reilly. There's a lot of guys that are just not with this team that we're used to seeing. And, you know, there's a big difference between these two squads. I mean, we have the Jets, you know, 51 games played, 63 points. They're just 3 points back up of the Dallas Stars of the top of the Central. And then we have a Blues team inside the same division, 49 points, a lot of work to do. They got a negative 27 goal differential. They've allowed 181 goals, which is the most goals allowed in the Central Division. And only the Vancouver Canucks and San Jose Sharks and Anaheim Ducks have allowed more goals in the Western Conference than the Winnipeg Jets. So it's tough to kind of get behind this line just at minus 215. Like, it's a lot of juice, but the Jets have lost three straight. I don't feel like an under is in play here, but I really want to give a little bit of love to Nikolaj Ehlers. His shot prop is at 3.5 at minus 103 using the prop shop. This is a guy who's cleared 3.5 shots in five of his past six games. He was stuck on two against the Preds on January 24th, but five shots in his last game, four in the game before that, five against the Flyers, four against the Sens, and four against the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's been really good since getting back into the lineup. He hasn't played a whole lot this season. He missed a lot of time this year. But I like Nikolaj Ehlers to score a goal. I like him to have four shots here tonight. And I really like that line with Mark Scheifele, Nikolaj Ehlers, and Blake Wheeler. Blake Wheeler tonight is plus 130 for an assist. This is a guy who's got five assists over his last five games, 24 helpers on the year. He's a pass-first guy. He doesn't really shoot the puck a lot. I mean, you can go back and look at his last seven games. He's got four shots. So he's not the guy that's shooting on this line. It's Nikolaj Ehlers shooting on this line. It's Mark Scheifele shooting on this line. Bet365, you can put all three of these guys into a same-game parlay and get the point. But I would be looking at Nikolaj Ehlers over 3.5 shots, Nikolaj Ehlers to score, Blake Wheeler to have an assist. And if there is a blue, I just wanted to check quickly. Tarasenko would be the guy for me on St. Louis because of all like the injuries that the Blues have. There's really just two shooters that I feel confident in. Jordan Kyrou, but his shot prop is always, you know, it's at 3.5. He has cleared 3.5 in three straight and five his last six, just like Nikolaj Ehlers. A lot of ice time for Jordan Kyrou as well. His last few games, four shots, 6-5. He had eight against the Preds. He had four against the Sens. So he's been clearing pretty consistently. But I wanted to give a little bit of love to Tarasenko. Tarasenko's shot prop is at -106 over at Bet Rivers. And he's just going to get a lot of ice time. He's three games since he's returned to the lineup, five shots, three, and then two in his last game. That last game was against Colorado, but the ice time was there, 21 minutes. So 17 minutes in his first game since missing some time due to an injury. Then in game number three, 21:04 in a top six role and locked into that first power play, missing Pavel Buchnevich and Ryan O'Reilly, as I mentioned. So I do believe we'll see like a 5-2 win. I kind of got to lean to the under or the over, excuse me. I think we'll see the Jets, you know, score some goals, whether it's Binnington, Billy Huso, Thomas Greiss, whoever they roll out in net for St. Louis. Jets win. I think Jets win comfortably. Just to recap, Wheeler assists, Nikolaj Ehlers over 3.5 shots, Ehlers a goal, and then Vladimir Tarasenko over 2.5 shots. And if you want more, just check out ftmbets.com/free and sign up for free. We got one more segment here on Mean Streets. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We're going to talk a little baseball. Keep her locked. Third matchup, by the way, with the number one pass offense versus the number one pass defense in Super Bowl history, with Kansas City and Philadelphia and KC being the number one offensive squad. So this is a bit of a sneak peek. Not going to have a lot of time to dive into this, but let's bring up the AL MVP odds. This is just the start of what will happen on this show over the next little bit. Joey Ohtani, a favorite at 2-1. Mike Trout at +450. Every year we do this, and every year I get a little sick to my stomach as a Halos guy to see the two Halos atop the MVP odds, knowing that this team will not even sniff the playoffs. But that's the way that it is. Judge at +450. Julio Rodriguez, I like, at 7-1. I think that's a very interesting one. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as well at 12-1. I think that's also a very interesting bet. Not going to fall for Rafael Devers. Sorry, George, at 20-1. Just don't think the Red Sox will sniff the playoffs. If they do, he definitely will win MVP because it's not a very good squad. Franco in there at 25-1. I think Corey Seager is interesting as well, but they're going to need all facets to make the playoffs in Texas. You know, DeGrom and company, they certainly made some noise. I really like that Rodriguez one at 7-1. I think he's a superstar in the making, and there's some good value there in Jordan Alvarez. We'll dig deeper a little bit later on the week. Bregman is high there. And then quickly on the way out, NL MVP odds. Soto at 5-1, Mookie Betts 9-1, Tatis Jr. at 9-1. I think it's a trap. Don't think he's going to be ready to start the season either. He's still serving that suspension. Goldschmidt 10-1. I like Ronald Acuna Jr. at 12-1, Trey Turner at 13-1, Pete Alonso at 15-1, Manny Machado at 15-1. A bunch of Padres here. That should be 18-1 for Nolan Arenado. Otherwise, we would take that at 180-1. Austin Riley, I like that one at 15-1. But my favorite on the board is Ronald Acuna Jr. I just think he is an absolute superstar, and the Braves shouldn't miss a beat this year. This is still going to be an absolutely loaded squad this year. I'm excited to turn the page and talk some baseball, and we will do that a little bit later on in the week. Good luck on the ice, and we'll talk to you guys some more. Cheers.